Sergeant Leonard Matlovich is our guest today on Montage. A couple of weeks ago, Mr. Matlovich's picture was on the cover of Time magazine, and it said, quote, "I am a homosexual, the gay drive for acceptance." And since that time, Sergeant Matlovich of the United States Air Force has been on the front pages of the major newspapers in this country. He has become a test case on the subject of homosexuality in the armed forces of the United States. Sergeant, it's nice to have you with us today.
Pleasure being in Chicago.
I'd like to know what caused you to make that statement that has changed your life completely.
There's a thousand and one reasons why I've come out publicly. Some of the prime reasons are that for 30 years I lived in the closet as a celibate, and I think no one should have to live this and be ashamed of what they are when they have no reason to be ashamed of that. When they are beautiful people, they are shining stars. The first time I walked into a gay bar, I had met I met all these different people in there, and I had made a commitment to myself to get out of the Air Force until I met a bank president who had the very same fears that I had, that if he was discovered, he'd lose his job. And I decided then and there, why should I go from a job I really enjoy, the Air Force, to a job I would not enjoy, yet still have the very, very same fears? And many times in gay bars with military people in there and even civilian people in there, the OSI, which is the Air Force's version of the FBI or CIA, would come in the bar, and you could just see people's fear, total fear on their face of discovery, of family disclosure or whatever. And it's just wrong in this country that people should have to live in such fears.
So why did it take you so long to come out?
There's a number of reasons that also. The prime thing is that I thought being gay meant you had to wear dresses, go in bathrooms and watch people or molest little kids or things along that line. And I got this from Hollywood and what have you, and I didn't know that being gay was being a human being, wants and likes and dislikes and what have you. So that kept me in the closet for quite some time, not knowing really what gay was, never meeting another gay person, and family fears of mother and father, always wanting them to be proud of me, and also my job in the Air Force.
Now, recently, a group of military superiors found that because of your homosexuality, you should be dismissed from the United States Air Force. Currently, that decision is on the desk of the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Defense or Secretary
Air Force,
of the Air Force.
Secretary of the Air Force.
What is he going to do? Do you know what he's going to do?
I do not know what he's going to do, but I can guess, and I would guess that he's going to discharge me from the Air Force. He'll approve the lower decisions. And then immediately we'll go into federal court and seek an injunction.
In other words, you are going to take this to the Supreme Court if necessary.
Whatever is necessary, we're going to do it. We're going to fight them tooth and nail.
You say we. Who is involved in this fight now?
Well, it's the ACLU with myself. Mm-hmm. And then it's every other gay person in this country, or not even gay, every other person in this country who's discriminated against. People are just going to start standing up, I think, more and more and more to fight oppression.
All right. Now, when you made the decision, you put it in the form of a letter and you gave it to your commanding officer. How did he respond to it?
Well, it wasn't actually my commanding officer. I gave it to my supervisor, which happened to be a captain. And he was standing behind his desk. And I said, "Captain, I think you should sit down. I have something for you to read." He said, "That's all right. I'll stand." And so I gave it to him. I said, "I still think you should sit down." And then he read it, and he sat down then. After he read it, and he said, "What does this mean?" And then I said to him, "Well, it means Brown versus the Board of Education, which is a civil rights case for separate but equal schools as being unconstitutional."
Are you the first member of the armed forces that has decided to take it all the way to the Supreme Court?
No, but somehow I'm the most publicized. I think I'm the first person who has disclosed his sexuality and is willing to fight it to the courts. Other people have been discovered and have fought it.
Recently in San Francisco, when Sarah Jane Moore attempted to assassinate, or allegedly assassinate, President Gerald Ford, a San Francisco resident by the name of Oliver Sipple stepped forward and knocked the gun away, and he was a hero. The local newspapers out in San Francisco and a number of newspapers throughout the United States have carried stories that have suggested that Mr. Sipple is a homosexual. He has not admitted this in public. In fact, he has filed suit against these newspapers for invasion of privacy. Yet all evidence would indicate that he is not only an active member of the homosexual community in San Francisco, but that he is indeed a homosexual, although he has not admitted it, as you have. Do you have any comments on Oliver Sipple's actions in any way?
Well, I think it was a very brave thing for him to do, and I respect his rights to privacy if that's what he wishes. So that's about all I have to comment on. I do think it was a brave thing, and I respect his rights.
How do you feel about homosexuals who do not come out of the closet? Are you one of these people that wants to push them out of the closet?
No, every individual has to make his or her own decision to that question. For me, it was a proper thing to do. For someone else, I cannot tell you. It's an individual decision. But if I had my wish, well, first of all, if I had my wish, there'd be no discrimination whatsoever. But my second wish would be that every gay person tomorrow when they woke up, there would be lavender in color. I believe that that would be brothers and sisters, uncles, aunts, mothers and fathers when people saw who were gay.
Now, your father was in the Air Force. Is he still in the Air Force now?
He's retired after 32 years of Air Force.
What was his reaction?
Well, at first, stunned. But then the last time I talked to him, he said, my son, the celebrity, when are you coming home? So coming around very, very well. I'm very
How about
pleased.
Your mother?
Same there, stunned at first, now coming around quite well. Very supportive of both of them. They say, we love you, and the only thing we can offer you is a place to live and food. So it's very supportive.
Have you noticed any guilt feelings on their part where they have said, you know, why did this happen to my son? Why didn't it happen to someone else?
Well, kind of with my mother at first, she thought that possibly God was punishing her for something she had done. That somehow women in our society are blamed if the children, quote, are not successful or success or model children. Of course, I think I'm successful and a model child also.
Have you tried to trace your homosexuality, why you are a homosexual?
At one time in my life I did, and I'm trying to seek the answers to that.
Where did it lead?
I've always been that way. There's never any, I can't give you a time, a place, a second, or anything. I just am a homosexual, from birth possibly.
Some of the common thoughts of the average people is that, you know, a domineering mother or not a strong father or things of that nature.
Although,
you didn't play football. Right. Thinking of the things that most people would think about. There's no common denominator in
not with me.
In your life.
I've, although my father being in the Air Force for 32 years, the longest he was ever away from us was one period for 4 months out of 32 years, so I can't blame it to father being absent from home or anything. I have no blame on anybody for anything.
All right. Now, when you were in the gay bar and you decided, hey, wait a second, I should really, you know, do something about this. It's ridiculous, the lifestyle I'm living. You went to an activist in the gay movement, and he kind of led you in the proper direction.
It was Dr. Frank Kameny in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. What happened was Air Force Times, which is a publication, a newspaper-type publication, had an article in their family section called Homosexuals in Uniform. And in the article, it mentioned Dr. Frank Kameny in Washington, D.C. About a year after I came out, I got in touch with Dr. Kameny, and he put me in touch with the American Civil Liberties Union. And 8 months after we laid the groundwork, it took me 8 months to get mm-hmm. enough nerve to do this.
And when we talk about your coming out and your going public are two different things.
Right.
You had come out a long time, as you say, 8 or 9 months before you went
right.
public with it.
Right. Well, it was almost a year and a half prior.
Did they provide you with the financial support to carry this case on?
No, not really. The actual legal fees with the ACLU are almost nil. But there are so many other lawyer fees that are coming up, which are going to be necessary in the future to see this case successfully through to an end. And right now we're seeking private contributions.
Sergeant, we have to pause here for a moment. Our guest is Sergeant Leonard Matklovic, admitted homosexual who is currently a member of the United States Air Force, pending a decision by the Secretary of the Air Force. Sergeant is a Vietnam veteran, wounded, recipient of the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star. And a couple of weeks ago, he was on the front cover of Time magazine, and we will continue after these messages. Bruce Dumont back on montage, talking today about homosexuality with Sergeant Leonard Matklovic, who is the most well-known homosexual in America.
Well, I don't know about that.
I would say you are at the moment. When was the last time an admitted homosexual was on the front page of Time magazine? How do you feel about just what's happened to you since you have gone public? How has it changed your life?
Presently, how has it changed my life? I'm right in the middle of it. And the old saying is, you can't see the trees for the forest or the forest for the trees. And I'm going to have to one day sit down and reflect back over how it's changed my life. I'm so involved in it right now, I don't perceive this. I mean, I'm going different places, I'm meeting many different people, but I'm just so involved in it right now, I don't have that comprehension right now.
Well, one of the things that they quote you as saying in time is that from the time you went public, just a couple of months later, you were addressing 10,000 gays in New York City, and that you were kind of caught up by all the excitement of it. You really didn't know how to react.
That's true. Absolutely.
Now, currently, you're on a 2-day leave in Chicago.
Right. I was up here for the Phil Donahue show.
Now, what type of activities are you doing now in connection with the gay community? Because, again, you know, you are the most well-known homosexual in the country right now. And conceivably, Oliver Sipple, if he were to admit that he were a homosexual, perhaps he would challenge you for that, but he has not gone public with it. What type of things are you doing?
Going anywhere, anytime, any place, public speaking engagements, getting involved naturally in the legal part of it. I keep my phone listed at home. People are calling me from all over the country who have problems, who just want to talk.
Where is the gay movement going legally right now?
In the courts, mostly.
Well, and what has to be done?
Well, we have to get into the federal courts, especially into the Supreme Court, to have the archaic laws just found as unconstitutional, that the government has no business in a person's bedroom. I think...
What specific laws would you like to see repealed?
Sodomy laws. There's laws against gays inheriting their parents' property. A law, like in Virginia, where I'm living now, it's against the ABC, the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, to serve alcoholic beverages to gays. It's against the law in Virginia, again, the ABC laws, for gays to congregate in a public place. All type of these laws just have to go. They're absolutely unconstitutional. Military laws forbid gays, discrimination laws, hiring laws. Wherever gays are discriminated, these laws have got to be struck down.
Is it true that Illinois is one of the most progressive states in the union as it relates to homosexual laws?
From what I've seen, yes, I have to agree with that. It seems to be one of the best states, one of the most liberal.
You mentioned before that before coming out, you were concerned about some of the images and the stereotypes of homosexuals. Is that still the number one stumbling block that homosexuals have as far as acceptance is concerned? Because the majority of people in this country feel that the homosexual is the stereotype homosexual who is in a schoolyard molesting a child or is in a public washroom exposing himself.
Sure. I'll have to go along with that. That's the major obstacle of straight community and many gays within the closet themselves. And also we're planning eventually in the future to have a massive radio, television, newspaper campaign to do exactly that, change the stereotypes of gays. Also, I think another stumbling block for gays are their parents themselves, because most gays want their parents to be very, very proud of them. And because gays, or because society has gays, believe that it's bad to be gay, many of them are ashamed to let their parents know, when in fact they should be proud to let their parents know their sexual preference.
Would you like to change if you could?
No, I have no desire whatsoever. But one thing I want to get, want you to understand, and the audience to understand, at one time in my life, when I thought being gay meant I had to wear dresses, I had to molest little boys, I had to go in bathrooms, at that time in my life, I wanted to be changed, because I didn't know what being gay meant. But now that I understand what being gay is, I have met other gay people and who don't molest, who don't wear dresses, and who don't do these things. I'm very, very proud to be gay, very, very satisfied. It doesn't even cross my mind anymore.
Would you say that the majority of those who are homosexual in this country, whether they are in or out of the closet, do they want to see changes made? Or, I guess the question I'm asking, the majority of people who are homosexual in this country who are in the closet, don't you think they would prefer to stay in the closet?
That's a difficult question to ask.
I mean, there are some people, you know, that are on the cover of Time magazine that really wouldn't like that at all.
Right. It becomes a security blanket, the closet does. And it becomes a way of life. And some people become very secure in that closet, or they think they're very secure. And probably they would not want things to change. But I think there's a new generation of gays coming up that are more active, more proud of what they are, and that things are changing, and that the new generations are going to come out more and more and more.
Do you think that some of the younger gays hurt the overall cause of your particular, of your civil rights, when they have the gay parades and things of this nature?
No.
I
support gay.
I'm talking about throwing flowers out and sometimes being heavily made up and gay dances and things of that nature.
Do they
really help get into the mind of the average middle American who is trying to understand the problem of the homosexual?
No, they don't. But I still think that those people have a right to do that. And it's just going to take more and more of the other type of gay to come out to show that gays have every facet, from the very, very feminine to the very, very masculine. But those who are in that fashion have a right to be that way. And for me to say they have to live as I am, they have to dress as I do, would be just as discriminatory as for straight society saying I have to be straight or they have to be straight. So although I think, yes, they may be hurting the image, I say, yes, but still they have a right, and I support their right to do that, to be themselves.
Getting back to the Oliver Sipple case, and I don't want to dwell on it too much because there's a lot of litigation that is going on. If he were to come out and admit his homosexuality, would he become an instant hero?
Well, I don't even think he has to come out, because I think he already is an instant hero in the gay community. Whether he's gay or not, there's been a lot of light around it, that at least he supports the gay cause. And I think just that alone has made him a hero.
You made a comment that before we went on the air, about the decision of the Secretary of Air Force as to whether that would really, you know, what his decision will be, and you're pretty definite as to what it will be. Would you expect any effort on the part of the President of the United States to become involved in this controversy at all? There are times that he has appeared since the Oliver Sipple incident where gay groups have paraded and have suggested that perhaps he should become involved in your particular case, since, you know, the proximity of your case and the proximity of the Sipple incident in San Francisco have come so close on one another's heels. Do you expect him to perhaps get involved in this case?
No, I really don't. Possibly if this was not election year coming up. It's a very, very explosive topic. They're either pro or against. If he were reelected and going for, I believe, his last term, for two terms, possibly he would come out one way or the other publicly and stay as he feels, because he knew he couldn't be reelected. I just don't see him coming forward at all.
You also made some comments about Jack Ford, that perhaps the president conceivably could be influenced by his wife or his son, who are considerably more liberal, at least in their public statements, than is the president.
Right. I should hope that they express... First of all, I don't know either views on the subject, but from what I've read in the newspapers and things, they tend to be very liberal, very open-minded people, and I would tend to hope that they would talk to the president and say, hey, these are archaic laws in the military, and they should be changed.
Mm-hmm. Sergeant, we have to pause here for a moment. Our guest is Sergeant Leonard Maklovich, admitted homosexual, currently on leave from the United States Air Force, and we will continue with our discussion right after these messages. Sergeant Leonard Maklovich is our guest today on Montage. I'm Bruce Dumont. It's nice to have you with us today. I'd like to talk now about the American Psychiatric Association. For a number of years, they referred to homosexuality as a mental illness. Recently, they have changed that definition. Do you feel that it's abnormal in any way?
No, no way that I can see right now. I see nothing abnormal about it at all. Nothing at all. It would be abnormal for me to go to bed with a woman or to have sexual relations with a woman right now. That would be abnormal for me. And I think normalcy has to be with the individual. What is normal for that individual?
One of the images that a number of people have of homosexuals is that their first sexual experience with a member of the opposite sex was a degrading experience, and they did not enjoy it. And because of that, and because of other psychological factors in their bringing up, that caused them to go into the gay life. Was that the case with you?
No, I've never had any sexual experience with women at all. I've never had any desire to go to bed with women or have any experiences with women. So I can't say that's been any factor at all. And another stereotype is that an older man molested a young boy, and that's why people are gay, and I've never been molested by an older man. I was 30 before I had my first sexual experience.
And that was in the gay bar?
Well, it wasn't in a bar, but it was in a private home. I met an individual at a bar.
We talked about, in the last segment, about the things that have hurt the gay rights movement. How badly did the Houston murder case involving Dean Corll a couple of years ago, in which he sexually molested and then murdered young runaways in Texas, how badly did that hurt the gay rights movement?
I would think it hurt very, very badly. Again, it was sensationalism by the press. When you have heterosexual murders of a number of people, they don't print in the public or right on the front page, heterosexual kills 15 women or something like that. It's just a sick, deranged person that does this. And I'm sure those individuals in the Texas case, although they may have been gay, which I really don't know if they were or not, but they were just sick individuals who committed the killings, and they were not homosexuals who committed the killings. Or that shouldn't have been played up, because their preference doesn't necessarily have to do with the reason they killed the people, the kids. But it did hurt the movement. It couldn't help it.
But I think in that particular case, the fact that he was homosexual was an integral part of his murder, because he sexually molested them before they were murdered.
Okay.
So his personal preference was an integral part. I don't think that's really sensationalizing a story. It's reporting the facts in that particular case.
Right. But I'm sure there have been many heterosexuals who have probably molested women before they've killed them, but still they didn't say heterosexual kills women. A deranged person kills these women. And it should have been a deranged person killed these boys. I have never molested anyone at all, never. Have no desire to.
When all the excitement over Sergeant Leonard Matlovich dies down, and you are no longer a cause celeb, and let's look down the road five or six years, and let's say some of the laws in some of the more archaic states have been changed. What are you going to be doing? What do you want to do in 5 or 10 years?
Well, you can change laws, but you can't change hearts. And we can say it's illegal to discriminate against gays, but you're going to still have people doing it. And as long as there's discrimination and hatred, I'm going to have a job, and I'm going to go out and fight that and try and change hearts. We're going to change the laws, and then we're going to have to change the hearts. So, and it's not going to be done overnight. In the state I live in, less than 10 years ago, blacks literally could not go in stores and eat side by side with whites. And that's only 10 years ago.
So this is your cause for the rest of your life, probably?
Yes, it is. It is my cause for the rest of my life. I'm going to go out and find that soapbox and preach equality and justice.
Are you going to be writing a book or on a lecture circuit, or how is it going to be done? In other words, right at the moment, you would consider yourself the Martin Luther King of the gay rights movement.
Well, I wouldn't. I wish I were half the man that Martin Luther King were.
But, I mean, you have the focus right now.
Right.
You're ahead of everybody else. There are other people that have come out of the closet in the last 3 to 5 years, a number of them, you know, state senators in Minnesota and a state rep in Massachusetts and a number of other, you know, political figures and some people in the arts. But you particularly, I'm getting right back to the media. You're the one that got the cover of Time magazine, and that instantly makes you a superstar of the movement.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so the pressure's on you, and you'll stick with it. We have referred to homosexuality as the gay life, and gay to most people means happy. Is that really a proper adjective to use to describe?
I like the word gay. I like the word. I'm comfortable with the word faggot. The word I find that is a flag word to me that I don't like is the word homosexual, because it tends to just describe one segment of my life, the sexual part of my life, and not my whole life. And there's much more to being gay than the bedroom. Matter of fact, one person asked me, they said, well, what do you do between the hours of 8 and 5 each day? Because they seem to think that I spend 24 hours a day in bed. and that gays are very sexual people. This, again, more stereotypes. So homosexual, I find it a flag word. Gay, I find very comfortable with. Even the word faggot, I find very comfortable with.
All right. As far as your extracurricular activity, your non-sexual activity, what are the things that you enjoy and that perhaps some of your gay friends enjoy?
Well, I'm a stamp collector, a coin collector. Love to hike, mountain climbing, the outdoors. Generally, the outdoors most of all.
To what extent? I'm trying to, talk about some of the barriers that are up that, or some of the stereotypes that we might be able to, to knock down here today. What about, let's get back into sexual performance. One of the images is that homosexuals, or gays, I should say, since that's now a flag word. Okay.
No, please, feel free. No,
okay. I'll change my choice of words. That gays no longer, or are more promiscuous than straights. Is that true or not?
The reason I think gays appear to be more promiscuous is because that part of gay life which gets the most publicity is promiscuity, that part of the gay life. But there are, for every one gay that goes into a gay bar, they say there's 10 that never go in that bar, which are not very promiscuous people. And I believe the reason, again, we appear to be more promiscuous is because that's the part of the life that gets the most publicity.
What about the spotlight that is on the sexual activity, and that there really is nothing more to a homosexual relationship other than pure sex?
Well, that's not true. I know gay couples that have been together for 19 years and very, very faithful. 24 years have been together and very, very faithful to each other. The hard part about the gay life is that the straight marriage or a straight relationship, they have kids and family and church laws which keep the relationship together. In a gay marriage or a gay relationship, the only thing that keeps it together is the love between the two individuals, because you can just get up and walk through the door and it's all over with.
What about certain professions? One of the opposition to the gay movement in many circles comes from parents who are very concerned about having their son or daughter corrupted by homosexuals. They do not feel that a homosexual should be allowed in the teaching professions. I would assume, judging from what you have said thus far, that you think there should be no prohibition
anywhere
in that position. How can a parent who wants to protect their child from homosexuality,
right?
I mean, that's their right to raise their child that particular way.
Sure.
Okay.
But just because
what protection do they have if they were to send their child to a school and a homosexual was the teacher? How do they know that that homosexual teacher would not try to abuse their particular child?
Okay, how do they know that if they have a daughter going to that school, how do they know that a heterosexual man as a teacher will not abuse their heterosexual daughter? How do they know that? They know it the same way. Again, we're going back saying that gays are very promiscuous people and they go around molesting little children. Facts just do not prove that. Facts prove differently. It seems to be, I think in my testimony, Dr. Pomeroy stated that child molestation seems to be a heterosexual predominant crime and not a homosexual crime predominantly.
Something else I think people would be interested in hearing your description of is the difference between homosexual and transsexual and transvestite. How do they differ?
Well, quite a lot. A person who wears the opposite sex clothes does not necessarily have to be a homosexual. It could be a heterosexual who simply enjoys wearing women's or men's clothes, whichever it could be. A transsexual is a person who wants to change their sex, go from a female to a male or male to a female through operation. They, again, are not necessarily a homosexual person. I, as a homosexual, am very, very satisfied with my masculine identity, my masculine body. I want no desire whatsoever to become a woman. No desire at all, operation or otherwise.
Getting back to your role in the armed forces, I mentioned that you were a Vietnam veteran, that you were wounded, you received a Purple Heart, a Bronze Star. What problems did your homosexuality create when you were in the service?
No problem whatsoever. Running from it created a problem, that because I was always running from these fears that I couldn't devote all of my energies to my work. Where hadn't I had this hang-up, I could have devoted my full energies, because that would have been something I wouldn't even consider, wouldn't even worry about.
Was there more frustration being in the service? You mentioned you were in for 12 years, and
right.
You have a distinguished record. Okay.
Right.
The military service is a male-oriented, male-dominant establishment in this country. The question I'm asking is, as a homosexual, as someone who has that particular sexual persuasion and lifestyle, was it more difficult for you being raised and living in an environment where there were almost 95% men surrounding you, some clothed and some not clothed?
I never found it a problem. That's all I can tell you. I never found it a problem.
Okay, in your words, now the Army and the Air Force and the Navy will have a different answer to this question, but, they're not my guest today. You are.
Right.
Why do they feel so strongly about the security risk involved in homosexuals?
Well, there's actually three reasons why gays cannot serve. The first one is because they're against the law. And the second one is because they're subject to blackmail because they're against the law. And the third one is because the morale of the troops, they feel that the morale will be much lower if gays are allowed to stay in. Okay. Even if homosexuality were legalized, and you would have a person who is ashamed of their sexual orientation, whether it's straight or gay, could be subject to blackmail. The same as any person who's ashamed of anything could be subject to blackmail. But unfortunately, what the services are doing is they're convicting individuals of crimes they have never committed. And to the best of my knowledge, I know of no case in this country where a military person who has been gay has divulged plans to the enemy because they are gay. There just seems to be no proof whatsoever that their accusations are founded.
Isn't it conceivable that in a case like that, that would have been covered up or hushed up?
Sure.
I'll
grant you that. Absolutely, it's conceivable.
I mean, that's not the type of thing that anybody would want let out.
Sure. It's very, very possible.
So until you can knock down the barriers of feelings about gays, the aspect of blackmail will always exist as far as homosexuals are concerned.
As long as any individual, whoever they are ashamed of what they are, that possibility is always going to be there.
And also the reaction of people to that, to someone saying that they're gay. In other words, you couldn't blackmail anybody if everybody felt as open about it as you do.
Absolutely. It'd be impossible. Absolutely.
Because that's where the fear comes in, the fear of being discovered.
Exactly.
I thank you very much for being with us today. Our guest has been Sergeant Leonard Matlovich, who is an admitted homosexual who is on leave from the United States Air Force, currently awaiting a decision by the Secretary of the Air Force. He is a Vietnam veteran who was wounded, recipient of the Purple Heart, the Bronze Star, and recently was on the cover of Time magazine, and is the most well-known homosexual in America. And as you stated, the next several years of your life are going to be devoted in trying to change some of the laws and changing attitudes as far as homosexuality. And I would assume that will consist of a lot of tours and lectures and things of that nature. So in the future, perhaps every couple of years, you can come back and be a guest on our program and tell us how things are going on.
I hope it's more often than every couple of years.
Okay, Sergeant.
What a pleasure being here.
Thank you very much.